U.S. President Donald Trump once again accuses Democrats of vote fraud and election theft as his rival Joe Biden declares victory in the presidential election. Iran's president says the next U.S. administration should use the opportunity to make up for past mistakes and return to its international commitments. And the leader of Lebanon's largest Christian political bloc says the U.S. has sanctioned him because he refused to comply with its request to sever ties with Hezbollah. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, U.S. President Donald Trump has reiterated his claim of fraud in the Tuesday presidential election. In a series of tweets, Trump accused Democrats of stealing the results of the election. He also raged against what he called election meddling in swing states. The U.S. president has provided no evidence for his claims. His rival Joe Biden has declared victory in the election. Several U.S. news networks, including the Associated Press, CNN, and Fox News, have also declared Biden the 46th president of the U.S. His electoral vote count now stands at 290. That surpasses the 270 electoral votes a candidate needs to win the White House.
Democratic challenger Joe Biden has declared victory in the U.S. presidential election. The decision came after the Associated Press called the state of Pennsylvania for Biden, despite a lead of around 30,000 votes. Incumbent Donald Trump has refused to concede. The simple fact is, this election is far from over, Trump said in a statement released just minutes after NBC projected Biden to be the winner. Trump vowed that as soon as Monday, his team will start prosecuting our case in court to ensure election laws are fully upheld. He added his observers were not allowed into the counting rooms and said he won the election, getting 71 million legal votes. But Biden supporters celebrated around the country anyway.
I'm out here today to celebrate a victory because right now we need reparations in our community and for our country. And Biden might be the one that get it to us, along with our first woman of color for vice president. And I think this is a huge celebration.
The use of mail-in ballots has already provided months of controversy and made this an election which is counted unlike any other. Many Republican supporters contested their validity and in huge numbers rejected using them. Democrats say fraud has not been proven, but analysts say that seems like something the courts may ultimately be forced to decide when the votes are finally counted. Biden's declaration of victory before all the votes are counted in this very narrow and very divisive election may anger many of Trump's 70 million voters. They may continue to insist that the judicial branch fully vet this very unique election and not drop their hundreds of ongoing lawsuits.
The lawsuits, while very dubious, all he has to do is hit one federal judge that he appointed who punts it to the Supreme Court, and they could overturn Pennsylvania's vote count. It's a very precarious situation.
Trump himself has spread allegations of electoral fraud in key states, despite repeated pushback from election officials and judges in numerous court cases. As vote tallies in crucial states appear to be favoring Biden in the days after Election Day, Trump even demanded that states stop counting ballots. Ramin Mazahiri, Chicago.
Well, America's allies are sending congratulatory messages to U.S. President-elect Joe Biden, signaling they won't back incumbent President Donald Trump's refusal to accept the election results. The German chancellor, the French president, and the Canadian prime minister separately congratulated Biden. The trio, who had strained relations with Trump, called for cooperation with the U.S. against what they call great global challenges. Now, the British and Japanese prime ministers also said they look forward to working with Biden's government. The British premier specifically named climate change a thorny issue. Trump dismissed it as a hoax. However, Mexico's president, who has good personal relations with Trump, said it is too soon to congratulate Biden. Andres Manuel Lopez said he will wait for the resolution of what he called all legal issues in the U.S. election. Well, journalist and political analyst Max Perry says U.S. President Donald Trump is unlikely to be able to produce enough evidence showing irregularities in the presidential election.
I just have a hard time imagining that the Trump camp is going to be able to provide sufficient burden of proof of wrongdoing in this raft of lawsuits enough to change the outcome in any of these contested battleground states. Most of the legal experts are indicating that, you know, his efforts are unlikely to succeed. A lot of Trump's foreign policy has diplomatically isolated the U.S. I certainly don't have to tell your network that. I mean, the Iran deal was pulling out of the Iran deal was very unpopular. Trump has made several other brash moves. I think that there's an indication that they see, like the U.S. political establishment, they see Trump as an insufficient manager of empire, and that a Biden victory means a return to having a more efficient steward at the head of U.S. imperialism.
Iran's President Hassan Rouhani says that next U.S. administration should seize the opportunity to make up for Washington's past mistakes. Rouhani said the U.S. now has the chance to live up to its international commitments by respecting global regulations. He touched upon the Iranian nation's resistance to the economic war launched by the White House, saying the U.S.'s so-called maximum pressure campaign against the Islamic Republic is doomed to fail. The Iranian president reiterated that his country has always made good on its obligations and adopted strategy for constructive interaction with the world. He added it's time to promote regional security and development through cooperation with neighboring countries. University professor Mohammad Marandi says the next U.S. administration must fully implement the Iran nuclear deal as the first step to rectify Washington's mistakes towards Tehran.
Well, we have to keep in mind that it was Obama who actually initiated this maximum pressure campaign in the first place. The sanctions that the Iranians are being imposed upon the Iranian people by Trump were first imposed upon Iran by Obama, and Biden was his vice president. Iran doesn't have any expectations. But if the United States under Biden wants to move forward, the only way forward is the full implementation of the nuclear deal. And we have to remember that under Obama and Biden, of course, the United States never fully implemented the nuclear deal. Never. At any point. For example, I as an individual, or you as an individual, you could never use the banking system before Trump even to send a dollar abroad or to bring a dollar into the country. Mm-hmm. So the United States, or any other currency, so the United States blocked the implementation of the nuclear deal under Obama.
The leader of Lebanon's largest Christian political bloc has blasted U.S. sanctions against him as politically motivated. Gebran Bassil dismissed the U.S.'s allegation of corruption, saying he was sanctioned after rejecting the U.S.'s demand for ending his party's support for the Hezbollah resistance movement. The former foreign minister said abandoning Hezbollah would have caused internal strife in Lebanon, stressing that he was targeted because he sought to protect his country. Washington deems Hezbollah a terrorist group and has been trying to block it out of Lebanon's politics. Hezbollah has condemned the U.S.'s attempts, as well as blacklisting of Bassil, as blatant and gross interference in Lebanon's internal affairs. And now to Thailand, where police there have clashed with protesters calling for reform of the country's powerful monarchy. Police in the capital, Bangkok, blocked demonstrators as they were marching towards the royal offices. They fired water cannons to disperse the crowd. No one was injured in the clashes. The Sunday protest was the latest in a series of anti-government rallies in Thailand since July. Protesters want reforms, including those in economy. They also want Prime Minister Prayut Chan-o-cha to step down. Protesters want the king to stop interfering in politics also. They accuse him of working in favor of boosting the military's domination. Azerbaijan says its forces have seized the strategic town of Shusha in the disputed Nagorno-Karabakh region. Azerbaijan's President Ilham Aliyev announced a victory in a televised address. Nagorno-Karabakh officials denied the claim that Shusha was taken over by Azeri forces. An Armenian Defense Ministry official also said that the fighting for the town is still ongoing. The hilltop town is located on a main road linking Nagorno-Karabakh's main city, Stepanakert, to the Armenian territory. Both Baku and Yerevan are engaged in deadly clashes over the region since late September. Over 1,200 people have been killed in the fighting. Two ceasefires brokered by Russia and one by the United States have so far failed to hold, with both Azerbaijan and Armenia trading blame for violating them. Thousands of opposition supporters have protested in the Georgian capital of Tbilisi to reject the results of the last month's parliamentary elections. Protesters gathered outside parliament demanding a snap vote. Georgia's opposition has accused the ruling party of rigging the parliamentary elections held on October the 31st. All opposition parties have refused to enter the new parliament, triggering fears of a political crisis. The ruling Georgian Dream Party has denied the accusations of electoral fraud. Based on early results, it has won 48% of the proportional vote against 46% of four opposition parties. The Electoral Commission has yet to formalize those results. The proportional vote decides 120 of the 150 seats in Georgia's parliament. Well, Iran has reported its highest daily fatalities from COVID-19 since the disease broke out in mid-February. Health Ministry spokeswoman Seema Saadat Lahri said nearly 460 people lost their lives to the virus during the past 24 hours. That takes Iran's total deaths to more than 38,000. She added that infections increased by over 9,200. The figure brings the country's total confirmed cases to more than 682,000. The Iranian government has put new restrictions across the country to curb the spread of the virus. Authorities have warned that daily tallies will further spike if people fail to observe health protocols.
Lock Tehran down, or the coronavirus pandemic would spiral out of control. This is a demand made by Tehran City Council, as well as some MPs, amid an unabated surge in infections and fatalities. As the coronavirus has resurged over the past month across Iran, experts have raised the alarm over the soaring figures, especially in the densely populated capital.
Currently, there are over 32,000 hospitalized COVID patients. Out of this figure, 6,800 are in critical conditions and kept in ICUs. Our medical system has for the past 9 months been under severe pressure. Our medical workers are tirelessly working to fight the virus.
Last week, the government doubled down on its COVID restrictions, banning and imposing fines on unnecessary intercity travels. The government has also extended remote work for civil servants and mandated mask wearing, fining those who go out without a face mask.
Some people seem to be still unaware of the gravity of the crisis. The law enforcement should take strict measures to stop them from roaming around in parks and other public places. As long as apathetic citizens are not facing punishment, the virus is here to stay.
Over the past 2 months, coronavirus fatalities in Iran have more than quadrupled, with the latest figures hovering about 400. Since the outbreak of the virus in the country, plus 660,000 have tested positive, and more than 37,000 have lost their lives. The health ministry says it has proposed a 2-week enforced lockdown in the capital as the last shot in bringing the soaring numbers to a halt.
As the resurging virus continues to claim more lives, experts say it's still too soon to pin hope on a treatment or a vaccine. They say prevention is still the only weapon against the virus, on the condition that everyone is armed with that weapon. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
A Palestinian prisoner who had been on a hunger strike for over 100 days since he was arrested by Israeli military forces has ended his strike. This following an agreement with Israeli authorities to release him later this month. Rubat Shabat brings us more from Gaza.
Maher al-Akhras, a Palestinian inmate at Israeli jail, has suspended his hunger strike that lasted for over 100 days and won his freedom after forcing Israeli regime to release him. The Palestinian Prisoners Committee in the Gaza Strip marked this victory during a press conference in front of the Red Cross office and stressed that the Palestinian resistance will continue till all Palestinian inmates at Israeli jails are freed.
Maher al-Akhras' long hunger strike showed the Palestinians' patience and resistance. Today we're celebrating this victory. Maher's resistance led to his release amid the silence of the international community.
The 49-year-old Palestinian prisoner, a father of six, was detained on July 27 and held under a four-month administrative detention order with no charge and based on alleged secret evidence not available even to his lawyers. He went on hunger strike to protest his arrest and condition.
Release of Maher al-Akhras is a victory not only for him, but also for all Palestinians. Hunger strike is an effective means of resistance in the face of the Israeli administrative detention policies.
The Palestinian man would spend the remaining period of his current term in hospital for medical treatment.
Maher al-Akhras's health condition is still unstable. His victory reveals the violation of Palestinians' rights and provides us with more energy to work harder to free all Palestinian detainees from Israeli jails.
There are currently 350 Palestinian detainees in Israeli prisons without charge. The Palestinian Commission of Detainees Affairs said earlier this week, three of them have been on hunger strike in solidarity with Akhras.
Maher al-Akhras held one of the longest hunger strikes that led to his release. There are thousands of Palestinian inmates who suffer at Israeli jails. Al-Akhras' victory reminds the international community of the urgency to save the life of those inmates.
Maher al-Akhras has ended his hunger strike at Israeli jails after 100 days when the Zionist regime was finally forced to release him, marking another victory for the Palestinian cause. Ruba Shabit, Gaza.
And with that brings us to the end of this World News Bulletin. Thank you all so much for staying with us.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
I'm Eric Shimanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of writing.
Listeners special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, November 8, 2020. I'm Atef Erfani, hosting this program today. Listeners, especially the Sunday program, where reviews are presented through emails and letters. So contact us and tell us what you think about our programs. Or if you have any messages for our listeners around the world, then record your voice and send it to us and get your voice heard. Remember, listeners especially is your program. It's your views that are important. Welcome back, dear listeners. As usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. These reception reports, as you may know, are very useful and important to us, especially to our technicians and engineers. These reception reports enable us to provide a better service to our listeners throughout the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving a QSL card from us. But unfortunately, these days, with the outbreak of coronavirus pandemic around the world, please don't expect a QSL card from IRIB English Radio. As you may know, sending any material on behalf of IRIB English Radio is temporarily halted due to the coronavirus pandemic. And here, I truly appreciate those of our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including Stefan Karnov from Sweden, Victor Varzin from Russia, and Shanti Kumari Gandvir from India. Well, Stefan, Victor, and Shanti, we want you to know that how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. And a million thanks to those of our listeners who have kindly sent us letters and emails from around the world, which I mention some of their names here, and later during our program, I will read their emails and letters, including Muhammad Abdullah from Bangladesh, Ralph W. Perry from Australia. Also, we have an email from Anwar Iqbal Mukhtar from India. And also, Muhammad Aslam from India has sent us an email. And last but not the least, Alessandro Baroni from Italy. Well, dear listeners, stay with us until the end of the program. I will be back with all these kind messages just in seconds. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and here we have a lot of emails and letters from around the world. First of all, we start our today's program with an email from Muhammad Abdullah from Bangladesh. Muhammad Abdullah says, "Take my cordial greetings and love. I am a Bangladeshi radio listener. For the past 38 years, I've listened to international radio broadcasts of different radio stations in the world. I am very interested to receive and monitor your station, which is well received by your listeners in East Asia. Please send your recent frequency schedule and also some other information about your station and country." First of all, greetings to you from Iran and IRIB English Radio, Muhammad Abdullah from Bangladesh. It seems that you've already joined IRIB English Radio. It's an honor to have you with us as a listener, Muhammad Abdullah from Bangladesh. Thank you very much for writing this email to us. And also regarding your request about sending any information about IRIB English Radio, you can refer to our website at parstoday.com/en, and Muhammad Abdullah, there you can find our program's schedule, the frequencies, as well as the archive of our broadcast and the latest and most updated news from around the world. Anyway, Mohammed Abdullah, thank you very much for writing this email to us. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon in the future. Also, from Australia, we have an email from Ralph W. Perry. Ralph W. Perry from Australia says, "Dear friends at the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, today it was my great pleasure to listen to an entertaining and informative program of news from your radio station. I have diligently pursued shortwave radio monitoring for a long time and have provided reports to hundreds of radio stations through the years. It would be a huge honor to receive a confirmation letter for my report on the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. If you have a QSL confirmation card for listeners, this would also be a wonderful memento to add to my collection. Please accept my wishes for your station future success. Sincerely yours." Well, Ralph Perry from Australia, first of all, I do express my gratitude for writing this email to IRIB English Radio. And thank God you enjoy the program you've recently caught on IRIB English Radio. IRIB English Radio warmly welcomes your views about our broadcast, and my colleagues' endeavor is and has always been providing our dear listeners from around the world with the most updated and most accurate information. Anyway, I have to inform you that before the outbreak of coronavirus, our radio, IRIB English Radio, used to send our dear listeners QSL cards as well as IRIB English Radio souvenirs, including postcards or other promotional items. This trend has been temporarily halted, and that is due to the outbreak of coronavirus. So we ask our dear listeners to stay patient until we can get back on track. Again, Ralph W. Perry from Australia, thank you. Thank you for writing to IRIB English Radio. We're looking forward to hearing from you very soon in the future. Please, in your upcoming emails and letters, tell us your views about our radio. Write to us soon, Ralph W. Perry from Australia. Dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with other emails and letters from around the world. Welcome back. Here I have an email from India, and this email is from Anwar Iqbal Mukta from India. Anwar Iqbal says, "We would like to say that we, the club members of World Radio Listeners Club, want to listen to your radio program regularly. We also want to know about your country. Please send us your frequency and program schedule with timetable. Also send us your books, magazines, poster, folder, leaf, let, sticker, and other gift items if possible. Thank you on behalf of the club members." First of all, greetings to you, Anwar Iqbal Mukta from India. Greetings from Iran and IRB English Radio. And Anwar Iqbal Mukta, lots of thanks for writing this email to IRB English Radio. We're so glad that you and your club members have recently received the signals of our radio, the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran Broadcasting. And regarding your request about sending program schedule and the frequency, Anwar Iqbal Mukta, by referring to our website at parstoday.com/en, you can find our program schedule and our frequency. And also, You've requested promotional items of IRIB English Radio, including poster, folder, sticker, magazines, as I have mentioned several times during our previous programs. Sending any material on behalf of IRIB English Radio is temporarily halted due to the coronavirus pandemic. So please be patient until we can get back on track and send you the promotional items of IRIB English Radio. Anyway, Anwar Iqbal Mukta from India, thank you very much for writing this email to us. Send our greetings to your club members, and also don't forget to tell us your views about our programs in your upcoming emails and letters. Thank you again. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon in the future. Also from India, again, we have an email from Muhammad Aslam. Muhammad Aslam from India says, thank you for your radio programs and also your informative website. I appreciate your programs related to Islam and a useful society, and I hope the number of such programs will increase in future. I have some requests from you, and that, please send me your program schedule and also few promotional items if possible. Lots of thanks for writing this really inspiring message to us, Muhammad Aslam from India. And also thank you for your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. We are so happy that you enjoyed our programs as well as our website. Wish you the best, Muhammad Aslam from India. Again, thank you for writing this email to us. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon in the future. Stay safe and healthy, Muhammad Aslam from India. Dear listeners, what about a short break? Dear listeners, you just heard a piece of very beautiful traditional Iranian music. And here, we have an email from Alessandro Baroni from Italy. Alessandro says, I speak personally for myself, but I think this could be the opinion of all radio amateurs and fans of radio listening. A paper QSL card would be much more welcome rather than a digital QSL. I have a shoebox full of collected QSL cards sent to me from all over the world. An email would not have the same charm. This desire of yours to know the preferences of radio listeners is admirable. Thank you for your attention. Alessandro Baroni, first of all, thank you very much for your care and support for IRIB English Radio. As we have mentioned several times, in our programs, sending any material on behalf of IRIB English Radio, including paper QSL cards or other promotional items, is temporarily halted due to the coronavirus pandemic. And as you said, yes, I do agree with you. A paper QSL card has a great charm, and the digital QSL does not have that charm. Yes, and it's interesting you mentioned that you have a shoebox full of collected QSL cards from different radio stations all over the world. And this is interesting. It's a good job. You know, these days, due to the outbreak of coronavirus, this is not possible. But IRIB English Radio in the past used to send its dear listeners from around the world paper QSL cards or souvenirs. But this trend is halted, unfortunately. But after the disease is controlled around the world, we can get back on track and send our dear listeners our souvenirs, also our QSL cards. Thank you again, Alessandro Baroni from Italy. It was kind of you sending us email. In your upcoming emails, tell us your views about our programs in IRB English Radio. We're looking forward to hearing from you very soon in the future. Stay safe and healthy. Wish you the best, Alessandro Baroni from Italy. And now, dear listeners, here we wrap up this week's edition of Listeners Special. Many thanks for being with Listeners Special, and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to EnglishRadio@irib.ir. That is one word, EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00982122013720. Once again, our phone number is 00982122013720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
ocean of dua.
أسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Hello everyone, dear listeners, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Rarsi, and we're going to be with you with another edition of The Ocean of Dua. In this version of the program, inshallah, we will discuss the true meaning of prayer and dua, the value of prayer, ways of reaching the Almighty Allah, acceptance, and also benefits of dua. So stay with us. Dear brothers and sisters, we started to answer this important question. If we are ordered by the Almighty Allah not to forget about ourselves when we try to supplicate, when we try to pray to the Almighty Allah, then what is it that we should beseech from the Almighty Allah for ourselves? We previously learned what to ask from the Almighty Allah for the others other than us. But how should we pray to the Almighty Allah, and what should we ask for ourselves? The first and the utmost important point was that we should generalize in our prayers, and we should not stop at anything before Him, since He is all-knowing, all-merciful, and all-generous. And we have many instances of this point throughout the prayers of our infallible Imams. The second point that we started to talk about in the previous program was that those great needs that we always present before the Almighty Allah and beseech Him for should not stop us from asking for smaller things.
Alhamdulillah, khaliq al-khalq, basit al-rizq, faliq al-asbah, dhil jalal wal-ikram, wal-fadl wal-in'am.
A divine narration says, O Musa, ask me whatever you need, even for the fodder of your cattle and the salt of your bread. Also, Sayf al-Tammar says, I heard Abu Abdullah Imam Sadiq alayhi salam saying, keep on praying and keep on dua, for indeed you cannot attain proximity to Allah with the like of it. And do not desist from asking for smaller things because of it being small. For the one who owns the smaller is the very one who owns the bigger. So the points mentioned throughout this topic of asking for ourselves require us to ask Allah for all our needs and affairs, even for the lace of our shoes, and even the tie of our sandals, the fodder of our cattle, and the salt of our breads. Now we can move on to another point when we try to supplicate and pray to the Almighty Allah for ourselves. As we pray to Almighty Allah for everything, we should also pray to Him for great blessings. We should not consider a blessing as too big to be asked from the Almighty Allah, however big it might be, as long as it is possible, actually. So, in better terms, it should be ontologically possible. Nothing is big for Allah, nor do His treasuries diminish, however great His bestowal might be. As we should not be ashamed of beseeching Allah for our small needs, even if it is for the fodder of our cattle, and the lace of our shoes, the salt of our breads, similarly, we should not regard praying to Almighty Allah for His great blessings as asking too much from Him,
however great they might be.
Why do we make supplication? And why do we call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it because God is not aware of our needs? God is Al-Alim. He knows all of our needs. Is it because God needs convincing? God is known as Al-Jawad. He is the source of generosity. Then why am I making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The dua is a journey of realizations. When a person goes to the ocean and he takes with him a bucket that can carry 4 liters of water, the ocean is infinite. In as much as your vessel is large, that is the amount of water that the ocean will give you. And therefore, our goal is to expand our capacity. Rumi has a very beautiful poem. He says, Har khujo mushkil javob onjo ravad. Wherever there is a problem, that is where the answer will come. Har khujo keshti. Wherever there is a vessel, that's where the water will come. Don't go seeking for water. Instead, create the thirst within you. So that the water may burst forth from above and from below you. Experience that realization that you need God, and the mercy of God will come towards you. Thank you, Allah, that we're here, feeling so good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God is pleased with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true, and we know we'll be here forever. The feeling is indescribable, knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua.
One of the companions of the infallible says, one day the Holy Prophet ﷺ said to me, O Rabia, you have served me for 7 years. Do you not want to ask a need from me? I said, O Messenger of Allah, give me some time to think over it. The next morning, when I came to see him, ﷺ, he said to me, O Rabia, tell me your need. I said, ask Allah to admit me to heaven with you. He said to me, who taught you this? I said, no one, O Messenger of Allah. I thought over this and said to myself, if I asked him wealth, it will perish. And if I asked him for a long life and children, their end would be death. Rabia said, he ﷺ lowered his head for a moment and then said, I will do that, but help me by prostrating much, by having sujood. So this is really interesting how this school of thought, how Islam ordered us to have praying for the others, to give preference to the others, and also not to forget about ourselves. We should pray for ourselves, asking the Almighty Allah all of the things we can bring to our minds and all of the things we cannot even imagine. All of the good things we have in this world and hereafter. But we should also ask Him the smallest things, be it the lace of our shoes, the salt of our breads, and we should also pray for the great bounties. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this program. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye. Allah, yeah, Allah, guide me all the way to you.
Don't let me go astray, cause I need you by my side. I wish to be the most close to you throughout my life. Ya Allah, oh Allah, be with me all the way.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. 49 meters, 6040 kHz for Europe, and 25 meters, 11880 kHz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iran Sat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
The birthday of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, marks the greatest celebration in history.
The first thing that the chiefs of Quraysh did was to try to tempt the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family. They were prepared to grant the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family, absolute authority over their community. Being concerned about the safety of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family, and his enemies' plots, Abi Talib went to him and told him the message of the chiefs of Mecca. He probably gave the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family some advice and recommended that he tone down his remarks to some extent. Maybe he told the Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family that his dogged persistence was unnecessary. Dear uncle, even if they place the sun in my right hand and the moon in my left to prevent me from achieving this goal, I swear by Allah that I will not do as they say, and I will continue with my call to Islam until God grants us victory over them or until we all get killed. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family replied,
Your light and love, all I see, nothing more I'd ever want to need, my Lord. Protect me from dishonor. Grant me faith to be stronger.
Among the
Then the Prophet's eyes were filled with tears and he got up to leave. Having observed this faith and steadfastness, Abi Talib was impressed and said, "Dear nephew, go and say whatever you like." He told him to pursue his goal. "I swear by God that I will not give you away, no matter what I receive in return." This steadfastness bred more steadfastness. This steadfastness on the part of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his family, strengthened the roots of steadfastness in the heart of Abi Talib. Pursuing the goals, not fearing the enemy, not being tempted by what the enemy has to offer, and not being dependent on the privileges that the enemy offers to prevent one from treading the path one believes in, gives rise to resistance. Peace, trust in the path, the goal, and God who this goal belongs to.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, all praises to Allah.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.